It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Lynn Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Before we get into our story, let's see what's occupying our hero.
Say, McGee, what are you using that pencil and paper for?
I'm glad you asked that, kiddo. I was just getting ready to draw me a few plans for a fence I'm going to build.
I shouldn't wonder after that last one you put together. Some fence. You just forgot to include the gate, that's all.
Live and learn, I always say. I guess you got to make plans, though, if you want to get a thing done right.
Well, now, dearie, isn't that especially true when it comes to life insurance?
You're doggone right it is. That's why, folks, the Prudential's famous dollar guide is just about the best friend a man ever had. This little device helps you see right off how much your family will need to get along on if you're no longer here. How much for groceries, clothing, a roof over their heads, and a college education for the kids. Yeah, and how much money you'll need to retire on.
Well, tell the folks how easy it is to get the dollar guide.
Just call your Prudential agent and ask him to bring over a helpful dollar guide. He'll show you quicker than a wink how you can guarantee your family the kind of future you've always wanted them to have.
In case you missed the late legal news, the big trial in progress at the Wistful Vista Law School tonight is to determine whether a $5 bill Dr. Gamble got from Mr. McGee was a loan or a gift. While we're waiting for tonight's session to begin, the doctor's talking to his lawyer.
I've known McGee a long time, Arnie, so when he jumped up last night and offered to let the whole thing drop, claimed the $5 was a gift after all, I knew he was up to something.
We found out pretty quick, didn't we?
Yeah.
Said he was going to spread the word around the Elks Club that the poor old doctor was destitute, begging money from his patients.
Yeah.
He's a sly one, isn't he?
Oh, he's slicker than an icy sidewalk, Arnie. I took care of that angle, though, today. Simply went over to the Elks Club and told the members the whole story.
Good, good.
Those boys all know how many screwy tricks McGee's played on me through the years anyhow. They're tickled to death I've got him squirming.
I'll bet he's steaming, Doctor.
Arnie, there's nothing I can ever do to McGee that he hasn't earned 1,000 times. I'll never forget the time I did an appendectomy on him. Oh, years ago.
Yeah? What happened?
Well, I opened him up and took out the appendix, and then my assistant ran the usual count on the instruments, sponges and so forth, you see.
Mm-hmm. Before you close the incision, sure.
Yeah. Everything checked okay, so I stitched him up, woke him up, and started washing my hands. He came out of the ether chipper as a sparrow, waited till we all had our backs turned, grabbed a pair of forceps and hid them. Then he said, "I hope you got all your instruments out of there okay, doctor."
Uh-oh.
Well, just to shut him up, I had the nurse count my instruments again and talk about panic in the operating room. Ho, ho, ho. I nearly jumped out the window.
Holy smoke, I can imagine. Well, what'd you do?
The only thing I could do. I said, "Well, Miss Ogilvy, hand me a scalpel. We'll have to open him up again." He let go of the missing forceps like they had red-hot handles.
Well, this thing is supposed to start in about 5 minutes, Doctor, unless Mr. McGee doesn't show up. Well, I think we ought to talk about it a minute.
Sure, Arnie. And look, I got some strategy for us.
Good. We can use it.
Now, here's the angle. McGee is supposed to bowl tonight with the Elks team, the B team.
Tonight?
Yep, at 8:30. Now, we start here at 7:30, and what I think we ought to do is just stall as much as we can.
Oh, uh-huh.
He wouldn't miss that bowling for anything, and if we can drag this out to where he's got to either give up or miss the match,
up and win our case tonight in about 45 minutes, Frank.
How can you possibly?
We can do it, kiddo.
Well, gee, Mr. McGee, I don't know. 45 minutes is hardly... I mean, well, I've been studying the law, and I think we can win the case all right, but golly...
Well, you just do the best you can, Frank, my boy. If it gets along toward time for me to go bowling and you haven't got the case won yet, I'll step in and wrap it up.
Thank you, Clarence Darrell.
Well, I've been studying a little law, too, Molly. Well, come on. Let's go in.
Oh, my. The crowd is back again.
Well, I see our judge is already on the bench. We just barely made it.
There's Dr. Gamble. Hello, Doctor. Arnie.
Hello, Molly. Thought you'd decided to give up, McGee.
Give up? Ha! When I get through with you, boy.
Court is now back in session. Mr. Walker, are you ready to begin?
Sure, we're ready, Judge.
We're ready, Your Honor.
We're ready.
Mr. McGee, you remember how Arnie called you as a character witness for the doctor yesterday?
I'll say. Made me testify against myself. Couldn't say anything bad about Doc, and it helped his case a lot.
Well, I'm going to do a switch on him. Hmm? I'm going to call Dr. Gamble as your character witness.
Oh, wait, I don't know.
Your Honor, as our first witness, we wish to recall Dr. Gamble to the stand.
Attaboy, Frank.
Me? For what purpose, sir?
Well, if the court allows, as a character witness for my client, Mr. McGee.
Frank, maybe you better not.
You may do so. Dr. Gamble, take the stand.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm ready.
Now, Doctor, you're under oath here, and I'd like you to testify regarding the truthfulness, probity, and veracity of my client.
Of whom?
Of the plaintiff here.
I'm not sure just who you mean.
I mean Mr. McGee here.
What's his name?
McGee.
His full name?
Fibber McGee.
Oh, and you want to know...
The reputation for truth, probity, and veracity...
Of whom?
Of Fibber... Oh, never mind. Next question. I mean, if you'll allow me 5 minutes recess, Your Honor, I'll be ready to continue.
Yeah, we need a recess.
There's more fun with the McGees shortly.
It's wonderful the way you feel with Dial, Dial, Dial. No fear of odor, more appeal with Dial, Dial, Dial.
Men especially go for that Dial feeling. There's no need to fuss with separate deodorants, because with Dial, you never worry about odor. You see, normal perspiration has no odor until skin bacteria attack it. They cause the odor. Ordinary soaps can't get rid of them effectively. But daily washing with Dial removes up to 95% of the troublemakers. That's because Dial's the one leading soap with AT7, or hexachlorophene. There's nothing else as good. And it clings to your skin, protecting you for several days if need be. Dial doesn't stop normal perspiration, but it does stop odor before it starts. That's why men, and women too, really go for that Dial feeling. Aren't you glad you use Dial soap? And don't you wish everybody did?
So, Frank, you just leave the strategy to me from now on. I gotta be out of here by 8:15.
Hush, dearie, here comes Dr. Gamble.
That big round container full of balloon juice. I'll wipe that smirk off of his puss before this thing is... Oh, hi, Doc. You want to see me? You'll have to have an appointment.
Well, I just wanted to remind you of the time, Stubblehead.
Huh?
It's getting along toward the time when a certain bandy-legged bowler is supposed to join the Elks team. Or are you running out on them?
I know what time it is, Tallapot. I got all the time I need.
If confidence can win this case, Doctor, you're beaten right now.
Oh, he's whistling in the dark, Molly. Sure you don't want to throw in the sponge now, McGee? Tell the judge you give up so you can make the bowling on time?
Trot along, Doctor, trot along. Waddle back to your seat. On account of because I'm going to wrap this thing up any minute. Collect the $5 you tried to cheat me out of and prove that crime does not pay.
Oh, poor fella. Is he in for a rude awakening?
Well, our recess is about up, Mr. McGee. How do you expect to bring this case to a quick finish?
Just turn it over to me, Frank, and you'll learn a hunk of law. I went over to your legal library this morning and found out what I wanted. Then this afternoon, but, well, there's no use me telling it twice. Just give me my head and let me run, huh?
Here we go again.
Court resumes now. Mr. Walker, are you ready to go on?
If the court pleases, could I introduce some more evidence?
You will address the court through your counsel, Mr. McGee.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Frank.
If the court pleases, may we introduce some more evidence at this time?
What kind of evidence?
This recording I had made. It cinches our case.
Oh, we would like to submit a phonograph record marked Exhibit B.
I'll put it on the machine here, Judge. Plug it in over there, Molly.
I see no reason why not. Go ahead.
Okay, it's plugged, McGee.
Thanks. Now tell him this is the record of a conversation I had with Dr. Gamble this afternoon.
Your Honor, this is a recording of a conversation...
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a telephone conversation between my client, Mr. McGee, and Dr. Gamble this afternoon.
I object.
On what grounds?
Oh, do I have to have grounds? Can't I just object because I object?
You'd make a heck of a lawyer. Overruled.
Who said that?
You will, I hope.
Kindly keep quiet. Objection overruled. Go ahead with the recording.
Okay. Here we go.
Hello, Doc. This is McGee.
Well, well, well. Hello, my little pigeon. What can I do for you today? You want to give me another $5?
Gee whiz, Doc. How long are you going to drag that law school trial out, anyhow?
Just as long as I keep getting laughs out of it, Sonny.
I don't get it, Doc. You keep my $5 if you really need it, but what reason have you got for dragging this thing out like this?
Oh, I'm getting a lot of enjoyment out of making you squirm, Sonny boy. You've played plenty of jokes on me, you know.
Jokes?
You don't mean to say you're doing this whole thing just for a joke, Doctor? Why, Doctor, I can hardly believe that. Did I hear you right?
You certainly did. This is a joke, and it's on you, McGee. This is a joke, and it's on you, McGee. This is a joke, and it's on you, McGee. This is a joke.
Stop it. The needle's stuck. I've heard enough, I believe, Mr. Walker. What is the purpose of this evidence?
If your courtship pleases, I better explain it myself, since I haven't had time to get my lawyer out of the dark yet.
Or anybody else, either.
I went to your law library here at school this morning. But first, would you say this record proves that Doc Gamble started this whole business just as a joke?
Well, yes, it certainly seems to establish that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I believe even Dr. Gamble will concede that, won't you, Doctor?
Of course. So what, McGee? What's that got to do with the case?
I'll tell you what that got to do with it. Because I found a court decision called Iowa Reports, page 1002 in 1920, and here's the law book. And it says, in the case of Dietrich versus Bennett, and I quote, if words used by one party are intended as a joke, and if the joker knows that the act of handing over the money is by reason of the joke being taken seriously, then he is bound.
Bound?
Well, that means we got Doc lashed to the mast. We got him bound. To continue, and I quote, in fact, the court will give the joker cause to smile. He has to pay the disputed amount and also the court costs.
How about
here, Your Honor, Judge. Look, what do you say to that, Judge?
Now, wait a minute.
You're right, Mr. McGee.
What?
The court directs the jury to bring in a verdict in your favor and assesses Dr. Gamble all of the costs of the case.
thank you. Well, thank you one and all. Now let me out of here. Come on, Molly. I'll just make it over at the bowling alley.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. Start your weekend enjoyment tomorrow with NBC's big Friday evening lineup of listening at its best. First, music with two of your favorite people, Dinah Shore and Frank Sinatra. The Dinah Shore Show brings you a delightful quarter hour of after-dinner listening to start your evening off in a bright manner. And the Frank Sinatra Show presents the popular Frankie himself with lots of melody, the top tunes of the day, plus some casual chatter in the relaxing Sinatra style between songs. Friday on NBC also means Dave Garraway in a 90-minute program that brings you music, news, interviews, and just a little bit of everything. All of it enjoyable. It's called Friday with Garraway, and you're invited. And for sports fans, Friday's the night for cavalcade of sports with the week's most exciting prize fight, round by round, direct from ringside. That's tomorrow and every Friday night for the Dinah Shore Show, the Frank Sinatra Show, Friday with Garraway, and Cavalcade of Sports, all on NBC.
Is that you, McGee?
It sure is, kiddo.
I take it from the tone of your voice that your side won the bowling tournament.
That we did, baby, that we did. And I was the star.
Good for you.
Yes, sir. After the way I knocked off that trial tonight, showed Doc Gamble up and even showed up the lawyer kids and the judge himself, I was just inspired tonight. I bowled like I never bowled before in my life. I bowled good.
Good.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, Billy Idelson as Frank, Charlie Smith as Arnie, and Jack Mather as the judge. This is John Wald inviting you to visit again Sunday night with Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.